That's too much.
Yeah.
Too much. Too much.
We've been sitting here having this long conversation with not even talking about the thing we're supposed to be talking about.
I know.
You are being very, very naughty.
Naughty this!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I'm Scott.
I'm Joe.
And today we are talking trash.
Talking trash.
Holiday edition.
Yeah.
Talking Trash is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, and the much debated and often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review films unless you know what the worst is. Today, in honor of the holidays, Joe has been given the floor to find us some holiday trash. And first up is a movie that's tagline is, "This Christmas, you must respect your elf."
What? That's the stupidest tagline I've ever heard.
We are talking about 2023's There's Something in the Barn. It's directed by Magnus Martins. Sounds like a badass supervillain alias, if you ask me.
Magnus? That's cool.
Magnus Martins. Who has a huge career in directing TV episodes for stuff like Fear the Walking Dead, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Longmire, and Luke Cage. He's a Norwegian, which I can't say without thinking of the doctor and the thing who has to constantly tell everybody that it's not Swedish. He's Norwegian.
Hey, Sweden!
Not Swedish, Mac, the Norwegian.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can't stop thinking of that character. Every time I hear Norwegian, I think of that guy. Yeah, this is a big Norwegian project. It stars Martin Starr, which we know from Silicon Valley and the Spider-Man films, and I feel like he's in Party Down. Yeah, I think Party Down as well.
Yeah, he's in Party Down.
Oh, Roman's super into Chekhov. Yeah, and Sulu.
Moron. And that's not irony. A lot of people make that mistake. You, Alanis Morissette. You say ironic when you really mean happenstance, for instance.
Thanks, I could really use a lesson on irony.
Perfect. Here you go. Irony is when you say one thing, but you mean the opposite. For example,
I could stand here all night and soak up this knowledge.
You interrupted me. I was in the middle of telling you what irony is.
What made you pick this film?
Okay. Well, I really liked Rare Exports. So I figured that, you know, because it was that was out of where? Germany, right? Because it was about Krampus.
Yeah, right? I mean, yeah, so, I guess so, yeah.
I liked that movie and I figured, okay, so this is a different... You know, this is Norway coming out with this, and maybe it's going to be something special like Rare Exports was.
Yeah.
But I would be very wrong. I picked this movie because...
Well, you just thought...
I thought it was going to be...
Oh, Rare. It's going to be like a monster.
It's going to be like a monster funny. In the barn, and he's going to be tearing shit up. And I was, like, intrigued by the title of it, There's Something in the Barn. Which is kind of deceiving when you think about it, because we know exactly what it is, you know? So it's like, you can't just say, oh, there's something in the barn. We know what's in the barn. Like,
okay, yeah,
they
kind of
just tell you.
Well, I think that's only because the character says it in the movie, right?
True.
I should say that this one has a 5.5 out of 10 on IMDb from 5,000 reviewers. So, I mean, some people have seen it. It's got a 5.5.
It's on Netflix.
A lot. Yeah. Right now it is. I don't know if it's a Netflix put out thing. I think it's just a movie that I think they just have on there right now. Yeah. So yeah, it's not one of their movies. Yeah. So, I mean, this one was an odd one when you picked it because I knew it was going to be kind of like a family comedy type horror thing. In fact, I didn't even know it was rated R.
Well, I didn't look into it. I just knew that there was a family involved, and I figured that there was going to be some carnage happening. I didn't expect it to be as slapsticky and stupid as this. I don't think it really understood what it was trying to be, because if it was trying to be a comedy, like a horror comedy, it failed because it didn't hit. There was no... I didn't laugh.
Yeah, well, let's talk out the plot, and then talk out the movie, and then slowly go along the way, you know, talk about that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, this movie starts off with a guy is setting up, or he seems aggravated about his barn in the snowy wilderness of Norway. And he seems something is aggravating. He's like, he's fed up and he's trying to stop something from happening, right? And I guess he keeps trying to maybe burn down the barn that he's got, this giant barn.
Yeah, it opens with him trying to burn down the barn. He's throwing gasoline everywhere. So something is in there, obviously, that he wants to get rid of.
Yeah, and it's very important to point this out because set up in the same way twice where you think, okay, this must be, this stupid thing that's happening in this movie has to come back. But it doesn't. That stupid thing is that there's a random bear trap in a baby carriage for a man who doesn't have a family.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not getting the impression that he had a family.
He doesn't because we know, well, we'll get into that in a minute. But now here's the thing that's set up in this movie that I got to point out. For some reason, people are dumb enough to want to touch an open bear trap.
Yeah. I mean, I said that to you when that was happening. I was like, wait, if this asshole sticks his hand in there, I know this is going to be a bad movie.
Yeah, he did go to stick his hand in there and it almost bit his fingers off. And then later on, another person does that again. So I was thinking to myself, this is going to be a big plot point.
Yeah, this is, it was actually setting up the tone for the movie of how dumb characters can be.
Yeah, but you know, it's like that, Chekhov's gun? I think they say, I think the thing in writing or screenwriting is that when you show something in the opening of your movie, you set it up, mm-hmm. that has to come back in play, right? So you would think that this thing that's heavily set up is going to come back in play, but it just, if I'm not mistaken, and maybe you can tell me I'm wrong, does it ever show up again?
No.
Okay, that's why I was a little weirded out by it, but instead of this guy burning down his barn, he gets out of nowhere hit with a flaming tire on a rope.
What's amazing about this is that he had all this gasoline thrown all over the barn and his lighter wouldn't work to ignite the gasoline. But out of nowhere, somebody ignited a flaming tire, like a tire swing.
Yeah, a tire swing.
And threw it at him and he flew out the window. And I'm guessing he got killed.
Yeah, he didn't just get killed. He was set on fire the hit.
And thrown into the snow. And
which should have put him out instantly.
Which should have.
But I think they show him running on fire.
Yes. So we're just to assume he didn't make it.
Well, we know he didn't make it because the next scene is a family in a car. And we are introduced to our main cast. Mm-hmm. And like we already said, is Martin Starr is the father. His name is Bill
Nordheim.
Nordheim. Thank you. See how bad I am. That's why I keep you around.
And well, thank you. I hope that's not the only reason.
Well, that's what you normally say to me, so I'm saying it back. Yeah, he is the father of two children. Okay. I can't find out much information. I don't think this is the one movie that this kid has done. The main mm-hmm. child, the main son in this movie. This son, he reminds me of like a young Army Hammer. He's got like almost like dead blue eyes.
Yeah,
he does. And blonde hair. Does he look like Martin Starr? No.
No.
Now the daughter,
not at all.
The same thing goes with this daughter. The daughter is very tall. And we see that the mother looks to be almost within age. Mm-hmm. Or some kind of, it doesn't seem like the mother.
Okay. First of all, can we just talk about her? Her name is Amrita Acharya.
Yes, I have that here. She's playing Carol.
She's playing the mom, Carol. She's literally no more than 21 years old.
She's 37.
That can't be right.
Martin Starr is 42.
That
blew my mind a little bit. I mean, I thought he was older.
He looks like he's in his 50s.
I thought he was at least 50.
Yeah, me too.
She's 37. She's cute, young looking, and she's very short. So I didn't know what was going on. She was on Game of Thrones. She started in 13 episodes. She was one of Daenerys' handmaidens. She's also in the movie Dead Snow 2, which I still have not seen, and I like the first one. Martin Starr is also in that film with her.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that cast is pretty good, and I heard that one's better. So I want to see that one day. But, yeah, they're husband and wife. So I was instantly shocked because the kids look within age of her.
Well, the little boy, he looks like he's
not that
10
young
or though. 11, but the daughter, 15. The daughter looks like she's at least 17, and this mother looks like she could be like 20. I mean 21. Like
25, 22
it's
maybe.
Crazy. She's so young.
I didn't know what was going on, and luckily we're told very quickly. I'll take that back. It's not very quick because what we first see is them driving in the snow. And they come across a moose stop, like a sign that says moose crossing. And they're like, let's go take a picture of it. We're in Norway.
And they're all wearing Norway beanies.
Beanies and stuff, yeah. And they go take a picture of it, and there happens to be a moose in this street. And they're like, oh my God, an actual moose. Let's go pet it. And of course, that backfires heavily when the mother of the child, you know, like the young moose, shows up and attacks them, and they run into the car. And of course, the car doesn't start, which is a running trope and cliche in horror films that is just gotta die, gotta go away.
I mean, it's so overused already. Like, I mean, they're driving like, I don't know, it looks like the family truckster, but it still looks like a fairly new car.
It's a fairly new car.
And it's just not starting.
This suggestion that like cars in horror movies are mood rings and that when you're panicked, you can't start it is bizarre to me. It's just bizarre.
Oh, man. Well, my car has a button. All you do is press the button.
Yeah.
You don't need to turn a key or anything.
They don't want that in the movies.
No.
They don't want that in movies.
No, everybody in these kind of movies drives like an older model car.
Yeah.
But, so then the police show up behind them.
We get introduced to our sheriff character.
She's fucking awful. I hate her.
She's a running gag in the film.
Like, she's there for like comic relief, it seems. Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you even in this movie? Like, she does nothing and she brings nothing to the table.
Okay, see, I don't hate this. I do think that this first meeting of her sets up a running gag with her. But I think the first line of her saying, oh, you're Americans. I love Kim Kardashian. It's like, okay. That's just so cheap. But I will say that her constant showing up and making little jokes didn't bother me. I actually thought it was kind of funny. I laughed out loud a couple times.
It started to get annoying after a bit.
I thought it was funny, and then when it got to the moment of where it paid off, I was like, all right, there's something fun there. But I don't hate this character at all. It's just that they're setting up what I would call fodder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, characters that in the movie that might die off. You know, because you go into these movies, you know they're not killing the family members.
No.
It's not going to be that kind of movie. You just know. You know from the moment we meet them. They're like the Griswolds in Norway. That's what the plot of this movie is.
Yeah, they even go and cut down a tree like Clark.
They even do that, yeah. And they even do a sledding sequence.
Yeah. God, Jesus.
And he even wears the moose things on his head and everything. So,
It's
and he even does the Christmas lights. Turns on the Christmas lights the
just
same way.
Just like Clark Griswold does. Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't actually flip a switch. He does the pushing the two light sockets together. They go to the house. And I guess what's going on is they've moved from California to Norway because his uncle, the guy who burned to death in the beginning, was Martin Starr's uncle. And has left them this house. So the only family member that the uncle had, that's why the baby carriage is bizarre, is Martin Starr.
That's so weird.
So they moved. He uprooted his entire family's life. And is, by the way, his wife, we find out, is some kind of
self-help guru. Yeah.
And she seems to be profitable.
But, you know, she's very upbeat and positive. I mean, I don't hate her. I didn't hate her in this movie.
No, she's probably one of the better elements.
She's one of the better elements of the movie, yeah.
And that's, but we're so shocked, but they're together? Whose children are these? You know, it's very strange until we start finding dialogue out as they just start dropping it in the sequence where they get to this house. And they, this is where we're going to live. This is our new house in the middle of nowhere.
I mean, talk about a culture shock, okay? Yeah, like, this isn't, like, I could see if they, like, came in for, like, you know, two months and was, like, just seeing how things go, staying there. But they leave the United States, California, sunny California, to go into this, like, just snowy, barren wasteland. It's, like, dreary as hell. Like, and they move these kids there. Like, I just feel like, okay, there has to be a good reason for this. Well, we learn that she is the stepmom, that their real mother passed away.
And wait, they don't even mention it for a little bit.
For a little bit. But the reason that they're there, and we learn this very early, is that they're going to convert the barn into a B&B. Now, I have a question about this. They're converting the barn into a B&B. There's no people here.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a running joke that there is, like, nothing going
it's
on.
It's like a town of 20 people.
Yeah.
Who the hell is going to be staying at this B&B? Like, I don't understand this.
I mean, I guess somebody who wants to go see the Northern Lights, or there's a possibility of why someone would want, I would want to, but I know that it's not like it's a tourist attraction. There's no real sights or famous restaurants or anything going on. I would understand, like, just to see Norway, you know.
Well,
just to say Norway, I would say, yeah, I'll go.
Well, no, because we've stayed in some B&Bs that were sus, and they were like, we thought that they were going to be pretty nice, but then they end up being like kind of shitty. You know, the ones that we thought were haunted, but like, it's stuff like that. Like, I don't see how you would want to go into the middle of nowhere and stay in someone else's barn. Like, it's, I mean, I know they're going to convert it.
They're going to convert it into
it. It still seems really weird.
They have some really cool, at one point, the wife shows some photographs of the plants, and it does look really nice.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it does.
But my question is, how do they have the money? Where are they going to get the resources to fix it up?
Right.
And what did Martin Starr do for a living that he dropped everything and moved here?
Okay, no one ever says anything.
Nothing. And I got to say, I think we're going to play a little checklist here. And I think we're going to add to the checklist every time we go on with this movie. So I'm going to say, I'm going to add 2 points to Martin Starr's character. What's his name again?
I don't know.
You said it already. Mannheim?
Yeah, that's not his first name.
Nordheim. Yeah, Bill. Bill Nordheim being the worst human being ever.
Okay, I hate him. I think
I would say, I shouldn't say worst human being ever. Just a loser.
He's a total turd of a husband, like, and just father.
Like, terrible. Like, this movie goes out of its way to constantly remind you, oh, this guy's a piece of shit.
Yeah, he's the worst.
And I'm going to, and I don't, when I say piece of shit, it's not like he's beating anybody. It's not like he is a Nazi or something terrible, but he's just, like, not good in any sense. Like, you don't, there's no, he's not even there.
He doesn't even seem like a human being.
He doesn't.
Like, he seems like an android, or like someone that's just sleeping through the movie.
Yeah.
You know, like,
he's like the stoned cousin.
I feel like, okay, I know you're going to disagree with me, but I feel like this actor is this same exact character in every movie that he's in. I don't, he doesn't make a grand, you know, entrance or any kind of, like, memorable appearance. He's just there.
That's not true. He's amazing on Silicon Valley, and he's really funny on Party Down.
I said movies.
Okay, but I would say that in the Spider-Man movies where he's playing the dorky principal, I kind of like it. But here, I think he's the teacher. I think the other actor is the principal. But I think when I saw him on Silicon Valley, everything else I've ever seen him in, I'm always shocked that that's the same character. He is playing a dull character, but he's doing this sarcastic wit character that thinks he's amazing. And every other one, he's always like a dork or a loser or just like stumbling around.
But he always plays a dork. Like,
I mean,
he's always, whether he puts a spin on it or not, he's still always playing the dork.
Okay.
Like, I feel like in this movie, this woman would never be with this guy.
So we're going to, yeah, let's slowly never. Get to this, because that was one of my huge, I'm starting to write little checklists down to things to definitely mention on the show. And I wanted to say, starting the checklist with this character, one, they move him. He moves his family here.
Yep.
His two kids, he uproots their entire life to a house that he knows his uncle has mysteriously burned to death at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is giant.
Yeah.
Okay. And then two, the way he acts about things is so bizarre. Well, he almost got them attacked by a moose, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he kind of puts her life in jeopardy. And the way he talks to the sheriff, he just kind of nonchalantly constantly says stuff like, oh, that was cool, we met the sheriff.
Yeah.
And that's it.
He has no charisma at all, this guy. Like, I feel like in all of his movies, he also has no charisma. He's just, I don't understand what is going on with this actor. But, like, I get that it's a character, but it seems like he's always this character, dull as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing going on. And so that's why this leads me to ask you, what the hell does this woman see in him? He is not a good husband. He sucks.
Yeah, as we're going on, we can definitely talk about it each time we talk about a scene that he does something that we're shocked. But I definitely wrote down, I just wrote the words, how did he get married twice?
Yeah.
Like, what's happening here? Like, this woman is a successful life coach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she's hard up to meet a guy.
No.
So why she instantly marries a guy with two kids, it's kind of shocking.
Like, I can get it if they fell in love and it was like, okay, you could feel the love between them.
No.
You don't feel shit here.
You don't feel, and I definitely wrote this down too, you not only do you not feel that these people are related, but you also don't feel an ounce of family, like an ounce of any kind of connection or friendship or love at all from any four of these people.
Oh, the little boy calls her mom. He'll call her mom, but the daughter does not call her mom.
Yeah, but that's a superficial script writing thing.
No, but it's just
like
saying,
they're reading, like, the line that you're my mom.
Yeah.
But it's not, there's not one moment where they share a moment together that means, like, I will say, while we say the mom is the best part, is it constantly she kind of has a connection with the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like an off and on thing, but that's it. That's as far as the movie goes with connection stuff with these four characters. It doesn't. I can't believe this movie didn't start off with them finding out about the dead uncle and getting the will and then finding out about the place and him talking her into maybe saying, you know, my job isn't going well. Maybe we could do this and we can do a B&B and we can live out there and we make a whole life for ourselves.
Yeah, they just appeared there.
They just appear there and there's no real explanation of how they were able to move.
Yeah, and what's astounding to me is that, okay, now you have a life in California. Your kids have friends. They have school. They have things going on. Why wouldn't you just take the property, sell it, and open a B&B somewhere else?
Yeah.
Like in the United States or something. Like, why would you have to uproot your whole family?
Yeah. Or build a vacation home there.
Right.
And do the B&B thing.
Right.
And then just visit.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not sure. And I will talk, we just got to say, we mentioned the car is a small four-door car.
Mm-hmm.
Where is their luggage? Because in the next scene, they already have their rooms done.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they have an entire, like the moving truck showed up with out off screen.
Yeah, well, they didn't care to elaborate on anything like that. They just wanted to get right into the movie and show us what's going on, which they don't waste any time doing.
Yeah, and let's be honest here. At this point in the movie, I wasn't hating it.
No.
I was kind of like,
the first 20 minutes?
I can see some weak writing here. This is very typical, whatever. I'm intrigued, especially when they see the house, I think there's a reality shift because they seem really happy and fine until they get outside and they see the house and they go, wow, it's in the middle of nowhere. The daughter, of course, is now like destroyed by it because her life is over. And the wife is like, ah, this isn't as great as I thought it would be, especially when he walks her blindfolded, like with his hands, into the barn to say, we're going to turn this into the bed and breakfast, and you can even make an office for your life coach stuff or your training seminars or whatever.
It's like,
and it's
not sweetening the deal.
Yeah, it's basically held up by planks.
Yeah.
There's like cracks in the walls, and like you can see right through, and the air is just freezing, and it's also filled with weird junk.
Yeah. And it's, can we talk about the cobwebs? Okay. So
we're talking about everything in this place.
It seems like this place has been untouched and unoccupied for 100 years.
Yes.
And apparently this old man just died, and then he inherited, I want to say Guilfoyle every time,
but I know. Yeah,
nice. Martin Starr, he inherited this property. The old man never kept this place up because it just looked like shit all
apparently
the time.
Apparently not.
But I'm in shock because it seems like, so when they get there, they have this big plan to, I guess, get people involved in their B&B, but not before we actually meet what's going on in the barn.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say next. It's like they walk around that barn and she's kind of like shocked. And that's when the son starts drifting away from the group. And then he starts realizing that he can see like these eyes in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually meets what must have killed the uncle in the opening, which is a barn elf.
Well, first of all, this is funny because he looks like a gnome, first of all, like a little garden gnome.
Yep.
And his pants are up to his neck, and there's something like kind of like cute about him.
Yes.
But as a child, to like see glowing eyes and then have this like creature walk towards you out of the shadows, that's kind of scary and off-putting. This kid's not scared at all.
Yeah.
He's like not scared at all.
We might have skipped over the fact that he found out some rules about it first, but I think that he definitely knows that there's something in there. And then, yes, the barn elf, which is what we find out is called. By the way, we're just going to talk about how it is played by Kieran Shaw. He's playing this barn elf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this guy is amazing. His career is amazing. So we have to talk about him a little bit. He has the Guinness World Record holder for the shortest professional stuntman since 2003.
Wow.
He has been in every classic great movie that you can think of. And I'm going to list some right now. Raiders of the Lost Ark, Aliens, the Lord of the Rings films. He's playing Elijah Wood's stunt double.
Oh my God.
He's in all the Star Wars films, Titanic, The Great Muppet Caper, The Dark Crystal, and the Narnia films. And it goes on and on and on. I was looking at this. I was like, literally anything that's been nominated,
wow,
he was a part of this movie. So, wow, I'm a little shocked by it.
That's,
you know,
crazy.
Yeah. He shows up and he looks great. I was a little shocked by it because I thought it was going to be maybe a terrible CG nightmare we're about to get into.
Yeah.
But I actually like the way he looks.
Yeah, he looks cute.
There's something like cute and creepy.
Yeah.
And when that stuff happens with him, that's where the movie excels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it doesn't. That's the weirdest part about it, because this moment I was like, okay, this is interesting, because he kind of shares a moment with this barn elf where he shares a chocolate chip cookie by putting it on the floor. And the barn elf here, he talks a made-up language that we hear a lot in this film, which I'm just going to call Barnanese. He mumble talks, but it almost sounds like words you can understand, but it's just like, it's weird. I don't know if you want to do your impression of it, but
that's what I'm hearing.
I know. A lot of times I thought they said chocolate milk a lot. It was like,
chocolate milk.
You sound like Yoda.
I was like, what the the hell is he saying? Chocolate milk? And they, because there's multiple voices. There's multiple ones. So they all do like a chocolate milk. I was like, what the hell is this? What is this? Well, so he seems to like the cookies. And he's like, nom, 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 and he eats the cookies up, and he keeps giving him cookies. But he gets startled and runs away when I think Bill Martin Starr, we're gonna call him Bill, he makes like a noise, and of course the son is like, "Hey, there's a thing." No one listens. Of course, this is a movie.
Well, he goes to his parents and says, "There's something in the barn," you know, because they have to say the name of the movie.
No one believes him, but until they go to town, and that's when we kind of like introduce to other characters a little bit. The townsfolk couldn't care less about this family. There isn't much going on. They're trying to talk to the locals about where no one cares. And the son just wanders off and he goes and finds a small elf village that someone has built.
Yeah, it's like Santa's Secret Wonderland, you know, like one of those like little mini villages at the Winter Wonderland things. And he sees like all of the like these little elves. They look like gnomes. I mean, they just...
Looks like the thing he saw.
Yeah, it looks exactly like the thing he saw. And they're like little ceramic or plastic, you know, little figures. And somebody comes up behind him and says, "My name is Tor," and tells him the whole entire...
It's like Taraj or something.
Taraj. And tells him the whole like story about how if you are kind to the elves, then they will be kind to you. And we meet him, and I was like, okay, this is going to be a good character. Like, I was happy.
He's might be the best character.
He is. So, yeah.
It's not saying much.
So now the little boy is being told, you know, how to deal with this elf. Because
he gives him some rules. This is like the Gremlins moment.
Yes, like don't feed him after midnight, all that horseshit.
But here we get the rules tend to be... barn elves hate artificial light, noise, and change. So it's just me. I'm a barn elf. I found that. And I do like chocolate chip cookies as well.
Yes, who doesn't?
Yeah, so yeah, I'm a barn elf. chocolate milk? So yeah, Torej, he tells him all this stuff. And he basically is like, he's telling him in a way where it's like, yeah, it's not real. But I'll play along with the child's, you know, dreams.
Like, it's like a little folklore thing that's not...
I will say, though, that the townsfolk, when they hear that they have moved into the place that they moved into, they get a little weirded out by it. Everybody seems to get weirded out by
it. Someone just died there.
Yeah, but there seems to be more. Yeah. You know, you don't really know yet. But we got to talk about now, the mother comes over to get the son while he's talking to him about the barn stuff. And she acts like he's a child molester, which is the weirdest overreaction. Get away from that man.
Yeah.
Get away from him.
I was like, this chick's not so bad until she was like, you know, kind of mean at that moment.
I don't know if it was supposed to be funny. It was very hard to tell what this was about.
But... I'm having a hard time differentiating what was supposed to be funny. And like, I don't understand what they were trying to do in a lot of scenes. Like, it was supposed to be funny, I think, but... It was kind of just made me like crunch my eyebrows. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it does a lot of that in this movie, like, unfortunately.
Was I supposed to giggle? Because I don't want to.
But she finds out, well, she basically tells him, well, he's like, you know what? We never get any locals. You know, I always like, oh, you must be visitors? Like, you're tourists? And she's like, of course, no, we just moved into that house. And that's when he's like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
We don't know why, because she rushes the son off. What we start seeing now is, like, because he's becoming friendly and giving cookies to the barn elf starts doing chores around the house for them.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because, like, you know, the whole thing is if you do something and you're kind to him, do something for him and he'll be kind to you.
Yeah.
So Martin Starr was like trying to chop wood and he was getting all tired. So the next morning he wakes up and there's like hundreds and hundreds of pieces of wood stacked ready for him.
The driveway is shoveled.
Like the barn gnome or whatever, he starts doing nice things for the family and the kid keeps giving him cookies.
Yeah, it gets to the point though that the barn elf starts coming into the house and he's trying to communicate with it.
Yeah.
But it's also coming in the house enough to kind of like scare people. Like they see it in windows and they think it's something and then they turn around, it's not there.
Right.
But they're freaked out. Right. So they kind of know. But we also around this time start getting, you know, because we're seeing the father, he's saying he's going to work on the barn and he's also trying to do chores, but he can't do any of them. He can't cut the wood. He can't shovel the driveway because it's already getting done for him.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you
and
this.
And he never questions it. He just thinks it's a service from the community.
Yeah, he thinks that the community and the people of Norway are doing a nice service for them because they're new there or some shit like that, right?
Or part of the government. And he's like, oh, that's the system of a country other than America. They help each other out.
Right. Now, I was going to ask you, this idiot can't even barely chop wood. Now, was it his intention to make all the repairs on the Airbnb?
Yeah, by to himself? Build an Airbnb. I don't understand this.
Okay, because if he can't chop wood or shovel a driveway, how is he building this barn into an Airbnb?
Yeah, who was doing this? I question a lot of that.
So weird. Like, yeah. This guy's completely inept in every situation. And I was just like, okay, whatever. Yeah. But the worst thing that he could possibly do... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, the worst thing he could possibly do is put up Christmas decorations.
Well, yeah, I wanted to... Before that, because I wanted to point out this. The daughter is starting to go through a meltdown.
Well, she misses her friends.
And she says the line... I wrote some of these down just in case. Because there's a lot of these things that keep coming back. She's like, this place will grow on you. The only thing that'll grow on me is icicles, right? So, and then they say, well, what's going on? Well, nothing bad happens here. It's Norway.
You're in Norway now, okay? Nothing bad ever happens here.
That's another running line Bill's character will say constantly.
Yeah, and also there's a lot of... funny things that are being said about Americans.
Well, I wouldn't say a lot of funny things. It's the same thing over and over. It's
pretty much the same joke,
which is they don't have guns because in America, we're not like Americans. We don't shoot everybody on every corner.
Yeah, because they don't have any guns, apparently. The cop never carries a gun. Okay.
Which they don't. These countries hardly have violence.
Okay, and that's great. I wish that we were that country that doesn't have any violence, yeah. But, you know.
One character actually says, this isn't Detroit.
This isn't Detroit, Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. And another character says, is it cool in America as I always thought it was? I always wanted to have a high-speed chase with the cops. Done that?
Have you ever ran away from the cops?
Yeah, have you ever been chased by the cops? That's like that's the running gag, I guess, with the American jokes. But yeah, he does try, because at this point in time, the mother, the stepmother, and the daughter are at it. Because the daughter just keeps yelling about everything, because apparently she plays softball and she's like popular. She can't do any of that here. There's nobody. There's no kids. There's no anybody to talk to.
I mean, I feel like there has to be kids.
It has to be. And actually, they reference that the kids don't have anything to do because they took the rec center away.
Yeah, I got nothing. Yeah. Apparently, there's no school. I don't know.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, too. How are they going to get educated? Yeah, I don't even understand that. Well, they set up... He now decides to try to make it as homely as possible by making it just be Christmas, because this character, Bill, is defined by Christmas. You know, that's his character. He's just trying to be that Christmas dad that we've seen in movies before, I guess.
Yeah.
So he's got to set up all of the Christmas lights, the giant Santa Claus that is motion activated. He thinks it's really funny.
He's Griswold without the charisma.
Yeah. And of course, this pisses off the barn elf, who trashes the ornaments. And because the son is warning them, you're going to upset the barn elf. He doesn't like bright lights.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm like, this is my house, fucker. I'm like,
That's odd. I mean, we don't even get an explanation.
No. It's like, they call the police, that police woman. There's one cop in the entire, like, area. There's only one cop. It's one woman cop.
Yeah.
And she always comes out to the property, which is several times that she has to come out because of disturbances or whatever, because of this things that this elf does. And all she does is just make jokes. Oh, maybe the moose did this. Or maybe you pissed off the moose so much that he came back for revenge.
Well, it's like, because come on. It's because she's saying, like, the kids, like, when they saw the ornaments destroyed and everything's messed up, the cop comes out and the wife is kind of like, are you going to do anything about this? And the way that she's going about it is the cop's like, yeah, let me sweep for prints.
What are you going to do about it?
I'm going to swipe this area for fingerprints, and then I'll call the forensics and
you know what I think it was? I think it was that mother moose coming back for revenge. I laughed at that. I was like, okay, that's, and she okay. just laughs her way away.
I mean, I get it, but like, this character, man, I mean, well, come on.
I mean, I take that character over Martin Starr's Bill character, because at this point, again, he doesn't say anything. He goes, oh, that must be what it is. Kids did it.
Just lets everybody walk all over him. Such a weenie.
It's bizarre. He's not even letting them walk on him. He just doesn't seem to care.
No, he doesn't.
And the wife is like, are you going to say anything? She's leaving. And he's like, she said she's going to take care of it. I have nothing else to do here. And that's it.
That's it. But so things keep happening where they make loud noises and they do stuff to piss off the elf. He comes into the house and starts doing shit. That's where I'm like, I don't know about this.
Yeah, I do want to cut over the party.
Oh, yeah. So they have plans to have a gathering, which I said before, just to kind of promote their Airbnb among the town folk. Is that what that was?
They're trying to warm up to the town folk, and they're like, well, how do we get the town folk to be friendly? Because we live here with them. And how do we get friends? And they're like, well, we have a party, of course, and we'll have it in the barn. And I love the day of the party. We didn't know this because I was like, when is he going to start fixing up the barn for this party?
It's gross. There's cobwebs. There's like freaking rusty shit everywhere. It's gross.
And the day of the party, he decides to start cleaning it up. He's like, oh, the party's in 5 hours. We were like, what? The party's in 5 hours? It still looks like a shithole. what are you talking about? And because of all this stuff, the barn elf tries to kill them by pushing a barrel at them.
Yeah, but they do still end up putting lights up and making it glow in there, very Christmassy, and the elf is hiding underneath the floorboards. Now, if I was the elf, that would be my perfect opportunity to take everybody out.
Yes, so I have so many questions about why the barn elf only goes and does what he does at night. And then this is a night party, and everybody's in there doing the things that he says he hates, but he's not really doing anything to them. You think that he would slowly be killing them all off.
Right. Nope.
He doesn't. And we kind of get all the characters meeting, and of course, the only way that the town gets friendly with them is that they have a giant table, and they have a whole sound system. A giant sound system with the boards, with the whole thing. I'm like, where did this come from? Where did they get this stuff? But alcohol starts being served. So because they have like every bottle of alcohol you can imagine at this party, and everybody's drinking it. And one of the guys invited even has an entire jug of what it says on the thing.
96%.
Yeah. 90. And he's like, this is my moonshine.
Like, first of all, anybody drinking that, he's just going to die.
Yeah. And the daughter makes a friend, I guess, who looks like a grown woman.
She does.
I don't know if she's supposed to be a person her age, but she's drinking alcohol, and she goes, oh, you're allowed to drink? She goes, yeah, what else are we going to do? What are they going to do, take it away from me? There's nothing else to do. So she starts drinking with her, and she gets sick, and she vomits through the boards when she's talking to the mother, and she vomits right onto the barn elf's face.
Which I don't think that you could possibly enrage this guy anymore.
Oh, you can. There's another way. And we have to talk about that because, again, Torage, is that his name?
I just call him Tor.
Okay. He tells the kid, asks, like, I have a problem. How do we stop the barn elf? because he's trying to stop the sound system and telling everybody the party's over, but the party never ends for some reason. And they're like, it's the barn elf. He's going to be mad. And the guy has to tell him, take him to the side and say, hey, look, I know I told you all that stuff, but it's just a story. It's just a kid's story. It's not real, you know? And he's like, no, it is. Now, let me ask you something. Like, if he's mad, is there a way to get him happy? And he's like, yeah, make him porridge. And we get an entire porridge conversation in this film.
And
if it's like you say, Lucas, then there's only one thing you can do.
What's that?
On Christmas Eve, you must place a bowl of porridge in the barn.
Porridge?
Yes, it's a food. Porridge. You make it out of different grains, oat, wheat, corn, rice, and you cook it in milk and water. Porridge. I'm surprised you don't know what porridge is.
I know what porridge is.
Yeah, now you do. Because I explained it to you. Anyway, so on Christmas Eve, you make a bowl of rice porridge. Okay?
Okay.
And you put cinnamon on top of it and a bit of butter in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And you place it out in the barn.
Okay,
you see, this is an ancient ritual, a sacred peace offering between humans and elves.
Would this make the elf happy?
Absolutely. As long as the elf gets its porridge, all will be well.
Okay.
Good. And now we also know what porridge is. That's a bonus.
What porridge is, how to make it, how good it is that we just shared how to make porridge.
I feel like it's... There's like a lot of... like kids fairy tales in this, you know, like it just seems like one big like gruesome fairy tale, but it's not really hitting the right way. But you see that after the party,
but I will say though that Tor, the actor delivers these lines and actually like hits the joke, it's kind of funny.
I mean, Tor's the best character.
That's what I'm saying. Everything he delivers, it's dry as hell, but it works. I don't know what it is. It's funny. And the kid does try to, he runs over and makes porridge because they have all the grains that you can imagine ready to make porridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, he's like, oh, it's certain grains and all this. And they have it all. Because this house, they have everything they need in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
They have a party sound system. Got it. Every bottle of alcohol you can imagine. Got it. You know? Oh, an inflatable Santa Claus in Norway? Got it.
Yeah. I mean, they have Christmas there.
I know, so but I'm just saying, like, anything like, you can think, they, I guess the Super Walmart's right down the street. But the daughter's like, there's nothing here. It's like, obviously there's shit going on, that they're getting all this stuff.
Yeah. The next thing that, I mean, you can tell, like, this guy, this barn elf is fucking pissed. Like, he got vomited on. There's loud music being played. There's no way he could be possibly any angrier.
But he is, because the father decides to make... Because he comes in the house and trashes it.
Oh, he trashes the house.
That's his revenge for the vomit, is that he goes in the house and trashes the house, and they walk around the house trying to figure out one by one. Martin Starr's character, Bill, he grabs... We thought was the most comical knife we've ever seen in a movie. It looked like a giant butter knife.
Okay, that thing was spray painted.
It was wobbly looking, too.
It was so bad. I was like, what is he going to do with this?
I don't know why that even came out, but he literally gets tricked by the barn elf to look at his hat so the barn elf can drop kick him down the flight of stairs into the basement.
Well, he purposely drops his hat at the top of the stairs of the basement. And so when Martin Starr sees it, he's like, what the fuck is this? He goes down to pick it up, and he literally gets kicked down the stairs. Now, this is a major problem in the movie, because he acts like none of this happened.
The next sequence, he's fine. He fell down an entire flight of stairs into the basement.
But obviously somebody kicked his leg. Like, he even went, ah!
Yeah.
Like, somebody kicked your leg.
And there was a hat.
And there was a hat. So you're not even the like slightest kind of suspicious about who would have done this to you?
Especially when they call the police again, and she shows up again, and the wife is getting a little nasty about, are you going to do anything again? Are you this time again, you're not going to do anything? And she's like, it was probably just a fox that got in the house.
Oh my God. This cop is out and out, like, just there to try and be a goof. I mean, she's just a goober.
Yeah. Oh, it's just a joke character.
But, yeah. Like, Marnstar is standing there. Now, he somehow picked himself up off the ground.
Yeah.
From the stairs. That not he just hurt fell at all. Down.
Yeah.
His leg is fine. He's fine. Even though he went down a whole flight of freaking wooden stairs. And he never tells anyone that somebody shoved him down the stairs.
Yeah. And I'm mad I skipped over this, but the only way that the barn elf leaves is that because the barn elf sneaks up behind the wife after Martin Bill is knocked down this flight of stairs. The wife goes and investigates next. Not one of these two parents turns on lights.
No.
Because the son turns it on to basically save her, because that barn elf is walking behind her with what looks to be a sledgehammer or an axe.
Yeah, it was a sledgehammer.
And I'm like, he's going to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
And the only person I could think of, maybe I should just turn on the light so we can actually see in the house, is the son. He literally saves her life.
Yep.
And the barn elf leaves after that. And that's when they call the cops. And what I wanted to say was, when every time that the police officer or the sheriff is talking to the couple about what's going on, Bill, his acting, or Martin Starr's acting, is just zoning out.
He just fell asleep. It's just
kind of like he's drifted.
I don't know
if the character is supposed to be, if this is supposed to be funny. It's obnoxious because the wife is constantly left to take care of this. And she is miserable.
Oh, yeah.
And this is where the wife starts losing it, because the daughter's treating her like crap. The son is talking about how barn elves, and they're in the middle of nowhere with nothing. And she's trying to stay positive, which is what she does for a living. And she can't take it anymore. And when the daughter drank the alcohol and threw up all over the place and did all this stuff, she takes it upon herself to be the parent. And tell her, I'm taking away your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, what else can you take away from me? You know, like, you know, screw you kind of a thing. And the father just stands there and watches. And then she goes, this is your daughter.
Yeah, he's the worst.
I'm the stepmom. You're making me look like an enemy.
He is the thing I dislike the most about this movie. His character is freaking trash.
And it could have been so easily fixed.
Yeah.
Like, they could have just done certain things to make things work a little better.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he just constantly doesn't do anything. And he's like, I know my daughter. She's going to be fine in a few days.
Okay.
And it's like, no.
No, yeah. She's not.
So you know what he does? What any parent would do to try to get their family all back into loving him? He goes and cooks. I don't even call it cooking. He makes a Norway special dish called lutefisk.
Oh, God.
Yeah, lutefisk is a plot point in this film. I had to look this up. It is a dried white fish, usually cod, cured in lye. It is made from aged stone fish, stockfish, air-dried white fish, or dried and salted cod. The fish takes a gelatinous texture after being rehydrated for days prior to eating.
Okay, that sounds like something you would cook for somebody that you're trying to murder.
Thank you.
What
made him do this is also beyond me.
His daughter already hates him, so why would you serve her that shit?
Well, I would say that the daughter and the son don't even react to the father existing.
Well, a lot of the time, no, they don't.
There's like no connection there.
But the daughter is now grounded after this incident that happened by the stepfather, the stepmother, when she was throwing up. She was grounded. The father never really acknowledged it at all. So I was kind of thinking, like, maybe at one point she was doing all this just to get attention from him, because he doesn't even pretend, he doesn't even act like she's there. But then I realized, no, but why even put that plot in there? He's not trying to. She's not trying to get attention.
If anything, it's just her shitting on the stepmother, and that is the whole arc there. And the son doesn't. And nobody reacts with the husband. He just is there and does dumb things. And when he makes this food, of course, no one likes it. No one eats it. It's garbage. It's disgusting. They can't eat it. And I felt and smelled that food through the TV. I was like, I'm disgusted by this.
It looked like some sort of like bone marrow.
Oh,
I can't
it looks
even
like cartilage.
It was, yeah. Oh my God.
But the best part about this is he made the porridge to feed the barn elf to get him to stop attacking them. But the next scene, because the father didn't eat the fish either, he eats the entire bowl of porridge. But the way that the actor does it is like a child or a stranger just came in and ate your food in your refrigerator.
He's standing there with the bowl and the fridge door wide open. Like he's in the fridge.
He's eating. In the fridge eating, and you hear him go nom 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 nom. And then the son comes in and goes, "What the hell are you doing?"
Yeah, he just like, ruined the whole father. Fucking plan.
Yeah, and then he goes, "I'm sorry, I was hungry." And then he puts the bowl and he goes, "But the porridge is the only thing that makes the barn elf happy. That's all I had, all the porridge I had in the world." And he goes, "I'm sorry then. The barn elf has nothing. It was good though."
Oh my God.
And puts the bowl down. And I was like,
the worst.
What is happening?
Like, this guy is the worst.
He's detached from, like, he's a father and he's not even saying, like, anything a person would say when the son's, like, mad you just ate all the thing that I made.
What are you doing?
I was hungry.
That was for the barn elf.
Whoops. Well, he would have loved it. It was delicious.
That's all the porridge we had. That was our only chance of having peace with the elf.
Yes, of course. Of course. Yeah. Buddy. We'll just have to make peace with the elf another way. Okay?
It's just so weird. So what does the son do? Probably the next dumbest thing that you can imagine.
Yep.
He gives the terrible Luke Fisk to the barn elf. And this is probably the funniest thing in the whole movie. The barn elf eats the damn Luke Fisk and screams to the heavens, "Why, God!" You know, like that kind of a thing, and goes murderous.
I mean, I get it, because if someone had fed me that, I would probably go murderous too. But I'm just thinking, this kid who has really not made too many bad decisions in the movie so far, he's been fine.
Yeah.
He could have literally given this elf a Cheez-It,
anything,
or some kind of a, you know, potato chip or some shit, and it would have been better than that.
It isn't exactly porridge, but it's something special. It's lutefisk. It's really, really yummy. Enjoy.
He gave him. So I was like, you know what? You deserve what's coming to you.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, you know, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
Why would you give him? He likes cookies. He likes junk.
Yeah.
Like you do. Why would you give him this unless you wanted him to be pissed off?
Yeah. The only person that didn't deserve any wrath was the stepmother. I thought that everyone in this movie at this point in the movie, needed a slap.
Yeah, that this was the part where I was like, okay, you know, it's finally on, and if these characters get killed, I'm not going to be mad, although I want the stepmother to leave.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, she doesn't. So, yeah. We didn't say this, but Bill, for some odd reason, is trying to give his family a Christmas, but it doesn't seem to be out of any thought or like emotional thing. it seems to be a self-centered, weird thing that he just loves Christmas and doesn't care, but he thinks it'd be really funny if he got the guy he met in town, who gave him the moonshine, if he asks him to be Santa Claus and surprise the family. And I was like, "Who? Why?
Yeah.
Like, what? Why? These kids aren't that old, young to be like, yay.
Yeah, they're way too old to even appreciate Santa.
Why? And the guy goes, yeah, I have nothing else going on. I can't wait to play Santa. He actually knew before he said it, you want me to play Santa, right? And he's like, holy crap, you knew what I was going to say.
Yeah.
He shows up because it's Christmas Eve, apparently. I guess the Christmas Eve dinner was Luke Fisk?
Gross.
That was when he made them for dinner, like, on Christmas Eve?
That's what I was saying. Like, that wife, I would have just walked out. I would have walked out.
Oh, like, what are they eating? What did the rest of the family eat that night? Nothing.
Right.
They went hungry on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And Santa Claus is showing up. Now, the guy shows up drunk, and he's dressed like Santa Claus. And not only dressed, he's wearing a Santa, creepy Santa mask.
Yeah, it was pretty creepy. Yeah. I was like, wow, that would be a good mask to wear if you're like dressing up as like Santa for Halloween.
Yes, and I was thinking the whole time, like, the whole reason he's asking you is because you're a little chubby and you have a beard.
Yeah.
And all you had to do was whiten your beard and your eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he put a mask over his beard. I was like, whatever. Well, when he gets to the house drunk in the night, the barn elf, after eating the Luke Fisk, goes absolutely apeshit and kills him by banging on the side of the barn until an icicle flies into his head.
Yeah. What's even more impressive about this death is that this guy is like, excuse me, he's like maybe 300 pounds.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, the barn elf puts an icicle through his face, but also like has the strength of like 100 men. And can lift him in the air and dangle him outside the window of the barn.
Yes.
How did he get
with
this
Christmas
guy?
With Christmas lights.
Yes. How did he get him up there?
I don't know.
Like,
and it's like, how did he cut the wood? Like, yeah. How did he do that? It's just like, it was like super speed, perfectly cut pieces, stacked perfectly.
Yeah.
He also shoveled the entire drive before anybody can even know or hear.
It's perfect.
And now he can hang a guy and hang him up in the air like perfectly. And you're just like, what the hell? But now I guess finally things are going to start happening. Luckily, I was a little worried here that the family still wouldn't find out.
Mm-hmm.
That it would be like more set up and dragging it out. Luckily, it doesn't, because he comes out and sees his dead body because he's waiting for Santa to show up for the kids.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, he's supposed to be here any minute. Where the heck is he? So he goes outside to look for him and he sees him hanging there.
Yeah.
But like,
and he freaks out. He's like, oh my God.
I'm like, this is going to be at that moment. I was like, yep, he's going to freak out. He's going to say, you know, he's going to go in and get the kids and they're going to get into a car that won't start. Watch.
Yes. And that's exactly what happens here. The cliche, but, and I thought, oh, maybe there's just going to be more panic. No, luckily the barn elf does attack them with a sledgehammer trying to get into the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now for some odd reason, and all they had to do here was say that he cut the wires on the car.
Yeah, but they didn't even bother to say that.
They didn't do that. So he's trying to get in, and the way that they stop him is by squirting him with the windshield wiper fluid.
Yeah, no, this is another situation I was like, okay, wait, you have many options here, because he doesn't like loud noises. You could have honked the horn at him.
Thank you.
You know?
I was thinking that the whole time.
Like, and I was like, oh God, what the hell? But, and then at that moment, you know, they squirt him, so he falls on in the car. And then, is that the moment where the idiot cop arrives?
Yeah, because Not here directly, because they have to run back into the house. They actually just stand over the body of the house, because some reason the windshield wiper fluid knocked him out.
Yeah.
And then they stood around his body, and they were just like making jokes. Like, the wife is like, what the hell is this thing? And then he goes, I think it was just a child who likes to go into heavy metal concerts or something.
Oh
like
my
that.
God. He was... Martin Starr was implying that he was dressed in cosplay or something.
Yeah, to go to a metal concert.
I'm like, this fucking character sucks my ass.
I was like, what?
Maybe it's a child who ran away from home headed to a Nordic death metal festival.
It has a beard, Bill.
I don't know. This isn't a fully fleshed out theory.
He's the worst.
He jumps up again and comes after them, but they go in the house. They call the cops. The house is being trashed. He's coming after them until the sirens go on or lights come into the house of the cops showing up.
Well, that's the moment where you said, is this going to be a Grandpa from the Lost Boys moment?
It should have been Grandpa from the Lost Boys.
Where this bitch was playing off the whole time that, oh no, there's no elf here or whatever. You guys are crazy.
Which is what the grandfather does.
Yeah, and the grandfather at the end of the Lost Boys is like, one thing I hate about Santa Carla is all the damn vampires. Yeah. Well, she should have done that.
She should have said, the one thing I hate about Norway. Mm-hmm. It's all the damn barn elves.
Yeah, that would have been funny because at least we would have known she was fucking around this whole time because she knew about them.
Yeah, and you can't really tell people because they think you're crazy.
Exactly.
So it's like...
But that didn't happen.
Yeah. So it doesn't happen. Unfortunately, she comes in and she makes more jokes about how they're crazy. And then they're like, do you have a gun? We're literally being attacked. Do you have a gun? Why would I have a gun? This isn't America. So she, it's in my sled. It's in my, I think she's driving one of those, what are they called? Like, it's like a
snowmobile.
Snowmobile. Thank you. And she's like, it's in a snowmobile. So why is it out there? I'll get it. But all of a sudden you hear someone revving up the snowmobile. So she's like, who the hell is that? She goes outside and she instantly gets hit with the snowmobile, crushed, and he revs it up. And she gets completely grounded up and spit out of the back of the snowmobile.
Yeah, like all it was a them. Wood chipper. It was crazy.
It's like, spraying them in the face with blood. This is where the movie, I said to the movie, I was thinking to myself, this is like a PG movie, right? Because there's multiple times where Bill's character goes to curse, but he is like cut off.
No, but the daughter does a lot of cursing.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember
she being... She says, what the fuck is that? No less than 8 or 9 times in this movie.
Oh, okay. So is it after this moment, though, or did it already happen? Because this is where I was thinking to myself, is this R? And then I saw the blood, and I go, this has got to be R. Yeah. Because even the guy who was dressed like Santa, I didn't see the thing kill him. Mm-hmm. I just saw his dead body. So I was like, this movie, it's not R. And that sucks. And that's going to like bring it down. But then when the snowmobile thing happened, I said, oh, it is R and we're doing something interesting. Mm-hmm. But then the movie doesn't feel like it commits because after that, things get wacky.
Yeah, it's like, and also when this cop gets hit by the snowmobile, like the family's standing there, they're getting hit with blood and guts and they don't even scream.
Yeah, it's like,
they just stand there. It's like comical.
Yeah.
I was like, I know this is supposed to be a horror comedy, but these jokes are not hitting. They're just not. But then they run back into the house, right?
I think they knock the elf down.
They knock him down.
And then he screams into their ears.
Yeah.
And that's where we see, like, multiple elves show up out of the woods.
Yeah, I'm like, where did these fuckers come from? So
he's powerful, like, he can scream so loud that it hurts their ears, but also calls for backup.
Now, this is weird, because I was going to ask you, I was like, wait a minute. Are all these elves coming from different random barns throughout Norway?
I was thinking that same thing. I didn't understand this.
Does each person's barn have a barn elf?
Yeah, like what is...
That would mean that the whole fucking town has to follow these rules.
I was thinking this the whole movie. Like other people have to have barns.
Why aren't they telling each other what's going on?
Yeah, it's baffling.
That's so stupid.
And so tons of elves show up. And now it's like an all-out fight.
It's like a battle royale.
And so, it's not a good battle royale because it's like the Three Stooges of fighting elves.
I couldn't take it seriously at all.
It was very wonky. And I will say that the elves are beating the shit out of them. And also, again, something I need to say because it bothers me that no end with these kind of movies. I hate when movies go, hey, the elves have powers until they don't anymore.
Right.
Because now they just can't kill someone easy. We're talking about this guy, the one elf, the barn elf, drove a snowmobile into her and killed her instantly and also tied someone up, made an icicle fall on their face, and also in the opening set someone on fire and killed them with like whatever. And now they too on one cannot take the one kid down. Yep. And I would say, I was thinking to myself the whole time, like, one is throwing knives at the mom and she's blocking them perfectly. And I keep laughing because the other two elves don't seem to know how to fight the daughter. But if the one with the knives was at the daughter, she would have been dead.
Right.
I was like, anybody else fighting the one elf, if they like, what's that called? Castling when you move a chess piece. Yeah. I was like, if you switched opponents, you'd all be dead. Mm-hmm. Because the ones you're fighting are like, they don't know how to fight them for some reason.
I mean, there's no less than 30 of these fuckers in the house.
Yeah, at this point, I think there's only like 5, and then more and more show
up.
They
keep showing up, and they're just beating the shit out of this family.
Yeah, I mean, like with sledgehammers, and they're fine. Except here's what really bothered us was the mother. One of them even eats, like, you think this is going to mean something because Bill's one comes out of a window and eats Bill's ring off his finger.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
It doesn't eat his finger off, but it just has his ring off and swallows it. And you think that's going to be a moment of him being like, that's my wife's ring. And, you know, or like, you know, give me back, you know, fighting that to get the ring back, which would have been funny. No, just forgets, moves on, doesn't care.
That was a wasted moment of them. Like, they could have actually made it a little bit more violent and him, like, you know, chop the thing's head off and take the ring
back
and stick his hand down the throat.
Yes.
The decapitated head.
To show that he cares about the wife, because he does not seem to care about her.
Okay,
because
no,
she
not
is
at all.
She's the only one of the three characters. The kids are just getting, like, they look like they're getting their asses beat.
They're getting fucked up.
But they don't seem to be bruised, or they have blood splatter on them through the whole movie.
Yeah.
But the wife, unfortunately, gets literally stabbed in the leg with a corkscrew.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the one she gets punched across a table. I mean, like, she's getting effed up. And we were mad because, like, of all the characters, she's the only one that's stepping up. She's the only one that does the things that you would do in normal life. And I'm just so mad that it's her getting hurt. And you think that would be for a reason. Like, are they going to kill the wife off?
Right.
Like, but I don't know what's happening here.
It's crazy because then their family runs upstairs and barricades themselves in the daughter's room, right? And the elves just give up. They just go downstairs and start drinking. Do you notice that?
No, there's actually a lot more violence. And one of the things is one of the elves just in a scene for no reason, the elf finds the gun. And this is another stupid ass logical thing that doesn't make any sense. One of the elf doesn't know what a gun is, so he accidentally shoots his other elf friend, and his body goes flying away. Like,
it was like a Looney Tunes. Yeah.
And now again, I was like, you're saying that there's no weight.
Right.
So how does a barn elf pick up a human body? You know what I'm saying? You're saying that there's no weight. It's supposed to be funny. And then to go even weirder with it, he turns the gun into his face and blows his own brains out.
Yep. Well,
and I was like, okay, guns are bad.
I mean, that it was definitely, they're hammering that in. But I feel like at this point, the violence went on for a bit. But then, like,
I just wanted to say real quick. I wrote guns. Now I understand why they aren't used in Norway.
Because nobody knows how to use them and nobody
apparently
wants to.
Not, yeah.
But, so now the family's barricaded upstairs in the window of the bedroom of the girl. And the gnomes or whatever they are, elves, they just give up and they go downstairs and start drinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is that?
And it's supposed to, again, I'm like, okay, I get it, guys. You saw Gremlins. So, like, the Gremlins go, and there's a party sequence in the middle for no reason where they're in the bar and they're just partying.
Right.
And there's like, it's funny. Here, it's not.
It's not.
And it goes on for a while. And I wrote this too, and I just have to say this now. At this point in time, two people and two elves are dead, right? And I would say a third if you count the uncle, right? So the guy dressed like Santa, the cop, are dead. Two elves just blew their brains out, right? And then I said, kids have been beaten, and stepmom was stabbed with a corkscrew. The elves are partying. It's time to have a heart-to-heart upstairs.
Oh my God, I couldn't take it.
The characters sit down, and they kind of just take it, but they joke around about Christmas's past and how this Christmas isn't as bad because they had a Christmas where they got the flu or like food poisoning on an airplane.
Yeah, they were taking turns throwing up in the airplane bathroom and stuff. I was like, okay, wait a minute. Fuck this movie, okay? Yeah. Like, why are you going through all this right now? Like, you're sitting there, there's crazy murderous gnome people downstairs, and you're sitting in this bedroom barricaded in with zero weapons, and you're now having feelings?
Yeah, they're covered in blood, bruises, and all this, and they're sharing laughter.
Like, this was not cute, not funny,
no,
and not at all necessary.
They're not even covered in their own blood. They're covered in the sheriff's blood.
Yeah, the sheriff. And
they're fine.
They're fine.
And
they're laughing.
They're laughing. They're sharing a moment. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Like, what is happening? Like, you know, like Gremlins, bringing it up again. People are scared.
Mm-hmm.
They're terrified. They're showing you multiple people in the town being murdered in front of them. And if they make a joke, the characters are still terrified. Even if it's a joke, we get to experience both. Here, you just can't have a sappy moment in the middle of your murder fest. Like,
no.
It doesn't seem to work.
Nope.
And sure as hell, they start coming upstairs. So now what does Bill do as the father of the household?
He jumps out the window and leaves them.
His plan is to leave his injured wife alone. I guess the daughter stays.
Yeah.
To defend herself, to save herself. He doesn't sneak her away. That's not his plan. His plan is to take his son and just jump out the window and leave them.
Yeah, and they get on a sled, which is the most comical,
terrible
CG scene.
This is a green screen ever nightmare. Seen.
Oh yeah. My God, the green screen is so bad. And they're being pursued by two more gnomes on another sled behind them, which is funny because when they do come to a final stop at the end of the hill, there's moose there.
So this is, again, the Chekhov's gun thing where it's like, if you show it in the beginning, it's got to come back, right? So right. You think the moose is back, so we're going to do the moose scene where the moose attacks the barn elves. No.
No.
The barn elves just get hit by a semi-truck.
Yep.
That's it.
Splat. That's it. But the fact that this asshole leaves his wife and daughter and takes off, like, I understand they're trying to go find help, but you're leaving your wife and daughter, like, in a house full of drunken gnome murderers. Like, what the fuck is wrong with this asshole? Like, yeah. I hate this character so much. He's the worst.
Even if he's going for help, it's just like, that's your plan. It just blows my mind that he didn't sneak his family out instead of having the heart-to-heart.
Right.
He actually says to them in the heart-to-heart, he says, I'm sorry, I'm just a fuck-up. You know, and that's my whole thing. And they go,
why is this woman with him?
There's no conversation about it. Like, no, honey, you're not a fuck up. You just care and all this stuff. Nothing. They don't share anything. They just let you say, yeah, he's a fuck up. Moving on.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, it's, if I were the wife, I'd be like, you know what? I want a fucking divorce. Idiot.
I cannot believe it. That's not in this movie. But here's what is in this movie. And we got to talk about it a little bit. We got to break down the layers of this sucker. The mom and the daughter make... She's like, do you have anything flammable up here? They actually have a heart-to-heart, too, and they share that she is her mom, and the only reason she's giving her shit... Oh, I'm so mad, because I wanted to point out, there's a scene where she drinks the alcohol, right? And the stepmom's response to this is to say, you're not even 21. And I was like, bitch, she ain't even 18.
I know, for real.
Yeah, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, but she says to her, do you have anything up here that's flammable? Oh, yeah. I took that guy's entire gallon of moonshine and I've been drinking it up here. Oh, honey, we got to talk about your alcohol problem later on, but I'm proud that you have it.
Oh my God.
So they take giant Christmas balls. They're like giant comical, like when Adam West was running down the pier with the bomb in Batman. That's what they have here. And she comes up with the idea to fill it up with the moonshine and put magical wicks.
I have no idea. This scene is baffling. It's like they're having a MacGyver moment.
Yeah.
I just dated myself, but whatever.
Well, they brought him back, so it still works.
Yeah.
You can say MacGruber too.
MacGruber. But yeah, so they had that MacGyver moment and they're making like homemade bombs with the moonshine. But How? There's no fire.
Yeah, there is nothing that makes an explosion here.
Right.
You're basically making cocktails, like those, what's it called?
Like a Molotov cocktail, but the Molotov cocktail is lit on fire, and then you throw it.
And then when it breaks, when the glass breaks, it would scatter fire.
Here's
what happens in this scene. They throw the ball with the moonshine out the window with the wick burning, and I kept going, when did they get wicks? Like, how did they find... Like, how did they find the fire, you know, the thing that makes the fire go down like a time bomb?
Right.
Like, how do you do that? And they throw it out the window, and it lands in front of three elves, and they just pick it up, and they watch the wick burn. And they're like, what is this? And I kept looking at you going, what? No, literally, what is this?
What is this?
Because the only thing that would happen now is that it would go out.
Right.
Because it's an enclosed ball.
Yeah.
It would have to shatter to scatter the fire.
Right.
And then it instead... just explodes. And I went, looked at you and I said, what is happening in this movie?
None of this makes sense. It's so goofy. It's not even funny. Like, even if they were trying to be funny, it's just not at all.
And you think that they would, like, have, like, an elf explosion, like his guts fly everywhere or something cool? No.
No.
It's just comically, like, three elves just fly up in the air,
yeah,
like,
they're
on
like,
ropes.
Wee!
Yeah, wee! And then they keep throwing bombs that blow up and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Meant nothing. And to the point where the mom goes to the daughter, leave.
Yeah, she sends her to the, I guess she sends her to the next house for help. But she's, the daughter is running through the woods. And I gotta tell you, this scene was pretty creepy and off-putting. Because she's stuck in, like, in the woods and she's stopped. And she sees all the eyes of the elves. And then you see her get dragged away. So I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. But then, like, how many of these fuckers are there?
Yeah, it was like hundreds. And then she's dragged into the woods. Like, you'd think she's dead.
Yeah.
And the same thing. The mother's left alone.
And she's injured.
And she has to fend off from the house elves coming up the stairs like that. And then we cut to Bill.
The idiot husband.
Their whole plan was to go to...
Tor's
house.
And ask for help.
But I love when they open the door. It's open because it's Norway. Then no one locks doors or nothing. They get right in there. He's in a smoking jacket, drinking like a brandy and with a pipe. He just looks like he's having the best life.
And of course, they have to go in and fuck it up.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? If they get this guy killed, if they get him killed, I'm going to be so mad. I'm going to have to turn this shit off because I was already annoyed at that point.
Yeah.
Because with all this nonsense that's going on. So they explain to him what's going on. And
he has a whole speech about peace.
He has a long, stupid speech.
If you laugh,
about peace and love and all this stuff, and like trying to live and like coexist, and you know, live in harmony and all this horseshit.
We can
and I'm
broker
like,
peace between.
Oh my
them.
God! I'm like, this motherfucker's gonna die. God damn it! I was like, oh come on. So he agrees to help them. Why? I don't know, because they literally don't have a solitary weapon. They just go out into the woods and try and find, you know, his wife and daughter. And what happens? There's like a whole colony of like little huts. So
they go,
I guess
first off, they go underground.
Out, yeah, they go underground. There's a tunnel.
And the tunnel comes out perfectly outside again.
Like a little village.
Like a little village. But the thing that bothers me the most, Joe, is that the barn elves have been murdering everybody. No problem.
Yeah.
But these two women are just now tied up like a comical cliche in any tribe movie.
Yeah.
Where like, they're just on the middle stake like witches and they're in the middle of the tents.
They
That's
look
it.
Like human sacrifices.
Yeah, they're ready to be burned.
I'm like, what the fuck? You could have killed them ages ago.
Why? Yeah, well, what's the goal? What's the end goal? Like, the barn elves just want them dead and they'll leave.
So what are you holding them for?
What is this?
Is it to lure in the idiot husband and the son? Like, so they can kill them all? But
they could just kill them and... Well, apparently they now can't do anything. But my favorite thing is the lead... I guess there's a lead elf. Although they're all separated and they live in barns across the world. Like, they don't have, like, a society. But it's suggesting that they do because the lead one seems to have a gun.
Yeah, he's got the gun.
Threatening them with a gun. But they get there, and Tor goes, and he tries the whole speech to try to talk them into peace. And I knew the whole time, oh, as he's talking, he's going to get shot.
Him. Yep.
Sure as shit, he gets shot. And the Bill doesn't give a shit. He just unties them, and the family is able to get away because the main barn elf that started this now has like a change of heart because he's like, I think we've gone too far.
Yeah.
And I also don't like the methods in which the other barn elves are reacting in.
Yeah, he kind of has a conscience now
so
after
he changes.
Kicking the fucking husband down the stairs
yeah.
and doing all this shit Bill, and fighting everybody and trying to kill the family. He suddenly has a change of heart.
Bill says, oh, get away from my family. And then the son goes, Dad, he's a friend.
Oh, is he now?
And I was like,
is he a friend, you stupid little fucker?
He killed the sheriff. He killed your uncle.
Yep. And he killed the guy playing Santa. And it's like,
was he his uncle? And now I'm thinking about, was his grandfather or his uncle?
No, his uncle. They say it. They say his uncle.
His uncle.
But okay. he's not a good guy. He's not a good guy. He's quite evil, and you're sparing him. And you know what? It gets even better. It gets better. So they leave Tor on the ground, shot and all.
They left him.
They just left him.
They teamed up with the enemy, but they left Tor.
And he wasn't dead. He was hit, but he wasn't dead.
Yeah.
And they freaking leave him, and they help this fucker find a new home, which is in Santa's little village.
You skipped over the end of the movie, but they lead them down all toward the thing. And the worst thing, if Bill Ruddy wasn't the worst character, they get to the barn. They come out of the tunnels into the barn, and the daughter and the mother, Bill and the son just leave them.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the whole barn thing.
And the mother figures out that she can set them all on fire. And by the way, she was stabbed and they were beaten.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she now has enough strength to trick them by setting them all on fire, which will also set bags of like something that's explosive almost. Now,
this barn has an obscene amount of explosives in it. Okay.
Yeah. And it blows up and it kills all the barn elves apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And they're outside and they're watching it. Bill is just waiting. Oh, honey, thanks. He doesn't even say like, oh, my wife or anything. What? It's just like, oh, great. You guys are done.
He's the worst fucking character ever. I hate him.
Yeah. And then Tor shows up tied up with other elves. And he's like, hey, guys, I know you were worried about me. I'm fine. We actually worked some stuff out. They won peace as well. They have him tied up. I thought they were going to kill him in front of them.
What the fuck?
But they just throw him at them. And the elves now just go, okay, we're fine. We're done with you guys. We're going to leave. I didn't understand it. And then the barn elf, the main bad barn elf that started all this because he had Luke Fisk, is like, and he's like, oh, look at him. Tori's like, look at him. He's sad. You burned his house down.
Oh, really? Oh, boo-hoo, you fucker. Yeah. You killed so many people. You, like, hurt our family.
But now he's homeless. He says he's homeless now, Joe.
Oh, my God, I can't
tell. Joe, and that.
And so Tor's like, oh, I have a place for him to stay. He can stay in my Santa's little village with the little houses, and he can live there and be in peace.
No, before that, though, the son says, Dad, can he live with us?
Oh my God. And it takes the mother. It takes the mother saying, no, that's not good because, you know, what if he gets mad at us again?
And he goes, we're going to piss him off again. And I rightfully so. They're shitholes.
Yes.
All I could think was of Goonies, how the parents have to be told by Chunk, like, that guy is going to live with us?
Oh, I know.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't imagine at the end of the Goonies, those parents would be like, that shit is not happening.
Yeah, Sloth is like, you're going to live with me now. I'm going to take care of you. And I can hear his mother in the background almost saying, you stupid fucker. Yeah. No, he's not living with us.
No. Yeah. He was like a caged guy. Like, it blows my mind. Yeah. But that's Goonies. But yeah, that's how I felt here. I was like, No, yeah. He's a murdering monster, mythical creature here.
Right.
Then he goes, and the son goes, oh, I got it. Tor, we already fucked up your life enough. You know how you have that village, that bizarre village that you built for no reason? That Tor himself says, yeah, no one ever visits it. Why don't they have the elves live there?
I can't.
And he's like, okay. And now they say goodbye to the thing, and he's like, he's my friend. And then they look up, and then Northern Lights happen. And then the father says, Bill says, just to double down on this fucking guy wanting to be punched in the face, he says, I love Norway. Best Christmas ever. And the family's like, no, Dad, it's not.
Yeah, it's really not.
End of movie.
I've never wanted to punch one of the family members in any movie ever this bad. He sucked.
And sucks. You know,
it started, like, I started to really hate the actor, too. Because, yeah, like, no, the way he was too. Playing it, I was like, oh.
Because I kept thinking, even he's bored. Like, I kept thinking, this actor's got to be bored because he has nothing to do.
I feel like he's always like that.
The only information I found about the movie, the trivia-wise, is that they were hoping for snow, and snow didn't happen. And so they had to truck it in.
Oh, shit, really?
So they were, like, trucking in the snow to make it look better.
Well, you can tell because there was no breath coming out of their mouth.
Yes, I noticed that, too.
Mm-hmm, I noticed it. This movie was shit, but leave it to me to pick the shit. Like, I always pick the shit. It's like, you know what I was thinking? Okay, when I saw this, I was like, okay, Christmas horror. All right. This has got to be something. Because if nothing else, we'll have at least, like, some kind of creepy creature that eats things or something coming out of the barn or something like that. I was like, all right, maybe we'll get a little gore or something. I was like, this will be maybe watchable.
This is like Goosebumps level.
Yeah, it
seems like that to me.
It's just straight up not good at all.
Is it the worst movie ever made, though?
No.
No, it's not. In fact, it's bordering on mediocre. It's kind of, I'm a little on the fence. What would you give this out of 10?
4.
Yeah, I think I'll give it a 4 as well. I was saying it's definitely right there with, it's mediocre to the point where it's like, it's fine, it's passable. I mean, didn't mind that I watched it. I'm just mad at the characters. I'm mad at the writing because it had an opportunity here. It just wasn't there.
Yeah, I mean, giving it a 5 would be like, okay, that's a mediocre film. You're giving it too much credit because it is not a good movie.
I just think it's more passable than many other films we've seen.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I'm saying, like, maybe it's near a 5. But I'm going to go 4 as well. It's just, which is so bad it's good for us. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, I didn't find it so bad it's good.
But would you ever rewatch this?
Absolutely not. That's why I wanted to give it a 5, because it's just like, I'm going to forget I watched this tomorrow.
Yeah, but if you give it a 4, you'll forget it even more. So,
not really, because those are the movies we usually love.
Well, then it's a 3.
I think I'm going to go 5.
Oh my God, you're too fucking generous.
I think that it's fine. I think that there's, like, kids might like this. It might be a fun, stupid kids movie.
I mean, they're not nice gnomes. They're not nice elves.
It's not rated R enough to, like, feel it. Like, there's some gore, but it's not bad. There must have been a couple curse words, but I mean, I don't remember it enough. There's no nudity.
No, there's no nudity. There's hardly curse words.
You only see blood. It's not like you see the thing, so it shouldn't be R. Like, when the gunshots happen, it's off screen again. You just see the blood.
Right. I mean,
like, it's fine for kids. It'd be a stupid, fine movie for kids to have fun with.
I don't know. I mean, if you're looking for Christmas horror, there's many.
Oh, this is not one. This is
other ones to recommend. This is not something to watch. This is a
silly, stupid movie.
It's on Netflix. You might pass it by when you're looking for something. You could skip it. Just keep scrolling. Yeah, but that brings us to our segment of why we can't have nice things, where I read out two extremes of internet reviews, a one star and a 10 star review, as proof that people ruin the rating system and prove that no matter what, there's always going to be someone who screws it up for the rest of us. And in this case, I can only find one 10 star and one star.
I can't believe you found either one.
I know, me too. So we're going to start with the 10 star. This is a terrible review, but anyway, here it is. It was a good movie. I don't understand.
I was hoping that's it.
I don't understand some of the reviews, which disappoint me because I honestly thought it was a great movie. Yes, it was a good movie. Not too scary,
jeez,
at least in my opinion. There was some comedy here and there, but the movie premise overall was really good. Great acting. Totally unpredictable, to say the least. Oh, and some blood and gore, but extremely minimal in my opinion. I am afraid to add more, since I don't want to give out any spoilers, but I have been wanting to watch it for a long time. I finally had a chance to watch it on Netflix, and I was so happy. This movie did not disappoint. Highly recommend.
Yikes.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. I like how, you said, how many times he said, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's a good movie, Joe.
One too many. All right, the one star. Terrible movie that can't decide if it is horror or comedy. This is a terrible movie, and I'm shocked at the many good reviews. This movie can't decide if it is a comedy or a horror movie, and it's disgusting. Juxtaposition of, did I say that right? Juxtaposition yes. of the two is sickening and stupid. I'm not sure if this was done by Norwegians who have stereotypical views of stupid Americans or just by dumb Americans. The parents were horrible, and I was actively rooting for the elf to kill the father. Same. The stepmother was incredibly silly and annoying, but at least she made some effort to be a parent. The father, on the other hand, was a terrible, emotionally abusive person whose emotional absence and emotional neglect of his spouse and children is appalling. The father never backs up his wife in dealing with the children. The father completely disregards the feelings of his wife and children, even when they are in distress. For a movie to work, we need to be able to root for the main characters. This is supposed to be a movie about a family, but I just didn't care if the parents were killed. At least the kids were okay and not hateful.
Okay. I mean, I
disagree with the thing he said about the wife, or they said about the wife. You know, I don't think she was annoying at all. But the husband was hands down the worst.
It was silly. The whole thing with all the characters was silly. But I don't think any of the... Like, as much as I don't like the Bill character, it doesn't bother me. Like, I get it. I know why it's a problem. But it's also... It could be so much worse. If you think these parents are bad, go watch The Godsend.
Oh, God.
You know, so... Yeah, it could be worse.
That movie.
You know, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, that's why I'm like, it's so in the middle.
Yeah.
Those people, like, it's a one. Come on. And there's a decent this and that. It was okay. It's a good premise. It's a fun premise that should have really went for it.
Yeah.
Especially when it looks good. The only time it looks bad is that stupid skiing down the street.
The green screen was really bad. But that otherwise, sequence
is terrible. I mean, but everything else wasn't terrible looking.
No, it's filmed fine. It was directed fine.
Yeah, it's okay.
But, I mean, I don't think I like Martin Starr.
I understand.
You know, there's just something up with him. He's just weird. And you know what? I like weird. But this kind of weird is weird. Like, he's so dead, you know, in the acting. He's just like a dead fish.
Weird. So, can you kind of catch me up on what you see as your role in the company? What do you do?
What do I do? System architecture, networking, and security. No one in this house can touch me on that.
Okay, that's good to know.
But does anyone appreciate that? While you were busy minoring in gender studies and singing a cappella at Sarah Lawrence, I was gaining root access to NSA servers. I was one click away from starting a second Iranian revolution.
I actually went to Vassar.
I prevent cross-site scripting. I monitor for DDoS attacks, emergency database rollbacks, and faulty transaction handlings. The internet, heard of it, transfers half a petabyte of data every minute. Do you have any idea how that happens? All those U-porn ones and zeros streaming directly to your shitty little smartphone day after day. Every dipshit who shits his pants if he can't get the new dubstep Skrillex remix in under 12 seconds. It's not magic, it's talent and sweat. People like me ensuring your packets get delivered unsniffed. So what do? I make sure that one bad config on one key component doesn't bankrupt the entire fucking company. That's what the fuck I do.
Yeah, it's
weird.
It was odd here. Watching him here, he seemed like he didn't want to be a part of it.
I know. It's like, okay, just give me my paycheck. I'm getting out.
Well, this is the start.
This is how we started. We started like super really bad, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think it could only get worse. I know that we're going to get to a point where we're going to watch the worst movie ever.
We're doing Christmas horror.
Yeah, well, yes. Yeah. Well, as we go on, we'll talk about it more, but... Yeah, if this is any indication, I'm hoping we go up from here, but I don't think it'll happen.
Nope.
You know what I always say, and I think I'm always right about this, maybe you can prove me wrong, but when we see IMDb says 5, mm-hmm. it's pretty much a bad movie. Like, I think 5s are the worst.
Yeah.
Like, I've watched ones that mm-hmm. at least was laughing at how stupid it was. This one, mediocre 5 ones, that's where everybody just can't make up their minds on it. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that are just, like, dull or just so boring. You know, I don't care.
Yeah.
I think those are the ones I hate the most. 5-star ones are the ones I always hate.
I know. I can't give this one a 5. I can't do it.
I understand.
I really want to give it a 3, but I'm not going to. I'll give it a 4. Because there were some redeemable things about it, but damn, this
yeah.
one sucked. We started out bad. And that's my fault. Fuck. Whatever. Well,
any parting thoughts?
No. I guess I'm looking forward to the rest of our holiday Christmas horror trash, but I'm going to be taking full responsibility for all of the terribleness that happens because it's my fault.
All right.
So that's it.
All right. As always, thank you for listening. Hit us up on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. Tell us what you think. If you've seen this movie as well, I'd love to hear it. If you have movie recommendations or themes for a month, I'd love to hear those too. Hit us up there and tell us. All right. So as always, thank you for listening. Have a good one. Bye.
What?
Do you have a gun? Do you have a gun?
No. I don't have any guns.
Why doesn't anyone here have guns?
Because this isn't America. We don't go around and shoot each other in the face. You see, in Norway, we believe in dialogue. Hearing each other. What do you want? What do I want? Let's meet at the middle. Finding solutions. Like the Oslo Agreement. Have you ever heard of the Oslo Agreement?
No.
We negotiated peace between Israel and the Palestinian people.
Sir.
And it didn't last, but...
Okay! Thank you for the information. Do you have a car? We need it.
Yes, I have.
Will you drive us to save my wife and daughter, please?
Absolutely.